Today is the last day. I'll be leading the choir. I didn't plan it this way, but physically it's time for me to step aside. In all the years I've been here, this choir has really been a blessing to me. Soon after I arrived here in July of 1983, I joined the choir. There's a very good choir going on back then, being led by Bill Andreessen, who'd been leading it for almost three decades at that point, and had some wonderful people in it. Sitting in the back row singing bass was Dave Cripe. We also had retired missionaries Harold and Florence McMillan. We had Alan and Nancy Stallsworth. Sitting over here in the front row was our missionary Jan Everett. Sitting beside her was Andy's grandmother, Mary Whalen. And sitting over here in the second row on the end was two very interesting ladies, Deb Smith and Patty Cripe. They always sat together, visiting with each other, having a good time, really enjoying each other's company, and they seemed to be very close to each other. So being new in the church and not knowing who everyone was yet, I just assumed they were mother and daughter. Honest. And I'm not going to tell you which one I thought was the mother, because I'm already in enough trouble for thinking that in the first place. But hopefully she's forgiven me by this time. But over the years, there's been just multitudes of people who come through this choir loft. But there were four people in that choir back then that are still in this choir today. Ann Henderson, Sandy Davidson, Rose, and Paul Lashmet.
Amen.
I'm so appreciative of them. They've just been such a blessing to me and such a help to this choir. Now, every choir requires a good accompanist. We've been blessed with a truly great accompanist. Ron Lee has just been here faithfully for us all these years. She's here at every rehearsal, every time we sing on Sunday. Her playing keeps us in tune and on track, and her playing is a foundation for what we're doing musically. And she and her ministry has been such a help to me as a director. She's really helped me and this choir. Back early in 1990, Pastor asked me to come down out of the choir and replace Bill as the director, because Bill had retired, was going to be going to Florida 6 months out of the year. So Pastor asked me, said, would you be willing to be a temporary director until we can find a real one? I said, yes. 27 years later, they've been looking, and I'm still temporary director. But that has to end today. This last song that I've chosen to do with the choir, I chose not because it's a big number, but because of the last sentence of the song. I really believe the Lord expects us as Christians to keep in mind and remember all that He's done for us. Remember what he suffered and went through to provide us with a free salvation. And then keep in mind and remembering what He does for us every day in protecting us and providing for us and leading us and guiding us and comforting us and just and helping us to grow in Christ. He just never gives up on us. And it says in 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you.
Amen.
The last phrase of our song this morning says, I never shall forget what he's done for me.
Deep.
good to have Lynn as our temporary song director for 27 years. He would like you to just say glory. Let's all say glory.
Glory.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you. Have you heard about the total eclipse?
The what? That's, I like that.
They tell me, my information may be wrong, but they say that this is, in the history of the United States of America, this is the only eclipse that is just for our continent, our United States. It's an American eclipse. The total eclipse goes right across America. None has ever gone completely across America, and only, you know, it goes different directions, and it'll go across a little bit of our country, but they say this is the only one that goes completely across America, our 48 states, and it is very exclusive, and it's never happened in history before. And I'm looking at the statement of it. It starts tomorrow at 11:52. Do you know all these information? And it begins at 11:52 in so many seconds. The heavens declare the glory of God. I want you to, you're going to be at work tomorrow, you're going to be at school tomorrow, you're going to be shopping or whatever you're doing. Tomorrow people are going to be talking about the eclipse. And all it is, all it says is, God is awesome. And as I said Wednesday night, this is what you'll see that you never get to see, is that the sun explodes all the time, and it'll be exploding all the time. You're going to see this a lot over the next couple days. And that is the amazement of how God has made the sun, and it's amazing. It's just a ball of fire and explosions, and it all stays together. And that's God. And have them, we know exactly when this is going to happen, where it's going to happen. If you go on the news, it just gives you all kinds of details. And the total eclipse only lasts 2 minutes and 47 seconds. And people have driven all the way to Nashville so they can see 2 minutes and 47 seconds. And you're going to see it on the news 1,000 times on Monday, okay? But the total eclipse starts at 1:20 tomorrow. The total eclipse begins, and it lasts for 2 minutes and 47 seconds. And then the whole thing, the beginning, it starts at 11:52, and it ends at 2:47. So we're going to have about 3 hours, okay? And everybody's going to be talking about it. Everybody. This is a great chance to realize that God has an order. Is that right? A design. And it all flows. And we know exactly when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen, because everything rolls in order. Is that right? Order. And we have a God. Only God could do this. You know, random chance could not do this. Oh, wow. You know, no. It is God. And I think it's a great chance to witness. I bring it up in my sermon. Is this happened? This is just one time in a lifetime. Baptism is something that is one time in a lifetime. Okay? You get baptized once. And it is very important that you realize that it's a God thing. God created it. And we're going to talk about it this morning. But it's neat to realize that it's a one-time event. And God created it so that you would have, sometimes it's hard to know exactly when you get saved. How many here this morning knows the exact minute you got saved? You have it down to you know exactly when you got saved. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I can't put mine up. Okay? Okay. Because it's a process, isn't it? Sometimes you, well, I got saved here at 7, and then I got saved again when I was 13, and then I realized, man alive, I'm lost, and it wasn't real, and you're 21, you're, and even 40, and you realize, wow. Now, aren't you glad you saved? Yes. And baptism just gives you a point, action, date, time, event, boom. And we're going to learn this morning that there's two different baptisms. There's water baptism and spirit baptism. And they both go together, and sometimes they're mentioned together by the same word. And it's really hard. Is this spirit baptism or is this water baptism? And water baptism is a picture of spirit baptism. That you have been immersed. That you have been immersed by the Holy Spirit. You have all of Him. And that's my last point this morning. That it is so important that we grasp and realize that that is awesome. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to summarize a little bit, and then Eric's going to come and read us our text this morning. Acts chapter 8. Everybody turn there, please. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Very important this morning. Saul is making havoc of the church. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. They've just stoned Stephen for being a believer. The church is being persecuted, fleeing through Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world, fulfilling Acts 1:8. Is that right? It's spreading the church all over the world. Verse 5, Philip goes down. Acts chapter 8, everybody. Verse 5, Philip goes down to Samaria and preaches Jesus to them. This is the first baptism. Story account in chapter 8 of Acts. And then verse 6, it says, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, the gospel, the saving gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, repentance and faith, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And then it lists them in verse 7. Unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. Verse 8. When I read this week, I've been asking God to do some unusual things in my life. I want to see the hand of God in my life. I want to see him moving. Now, we're not in the days of miracles. The miracle workers of the Bible were given that gift to identify that their message and their personal, the apostles, were from Jesus. Jesus went to heaven and he gave them these sign gifts, and they had them for a couple years, and then once the scriptures were complete, they ceased. Okay? Now, I still believe in miracles.
Amen.
Okay. I don't believe in miracle workers, okay? But I believe in miracles, and I believe God's doing some wonderful things. I get to see that happen. I'm not going to tell you all the things happening in my life, but there's some cool things happening, and God showing up, and this being done, and how can this, only God could do that. And most time it's physical things, and to realize, I'll just tell you one. We were getting our roof roofed, and Ron Lee wouldn't do it. I don't know why. And a man came up to me and said, I'll roof your house free. I fell off the roof. He did it Friday. And I'm sitting there going, wow. And you just realize God's doing stuff. Just little things happening. Finding a piece of paper that has the right information on it. You know, you're walking through the day. You're walking through a store and the person you're praying for is walking down the aisle. Huh? I want that to happen. As I read my Bible, I want God to talk to me. I want God to talk to me. When I'm praying for somebody, I want God to work in their lives. Open their hearts. And I'm not a faith healer, but I pray for people to be healed, okay? I want God to work. The biggest thing I want Him to work in the lives of people. I have marriages that I'm working on falling apart. Oh, grates my soul. And all this person needs is to open their eyes to their stupidness. And their selfishness. And they're messing their lives up so badly. Working with people on drugs. I don't understand people taking drugs. If I'm doing something I like to do, I sure want to remember it tomorrow. Why would I drink and take drugs and not enjoy what I'm doing? Because I want to enjoy, you know, I'm not like Patrick, you forget everything he ever did. I don't understand that. And I got God. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to flow in our church. I sense a new surge of that. I really do. I really do. And for you to volunteer, even in our functions here at church, and also child evangelism and things like that, to God, to you. Isn't it great when God uses you? Just little old you, just nobody you, and God uses you. It is wonderful. I had a text this morning and says, oh, I miss being at church. And I get text and I don't know who they're from. It's bad. They have just a number and I don't know their number. I had to text them back and it says, forgive me, but who are you? You know, you just told me a blessing and I don't know who you are. How can I rejoice with you? And they'll tell me who they are. When I read that this week, it just jumped at me that in those days they did have the gift of healing, and it was magnificent. Folks, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have more of the Holy Spirit than they had, okay? We have a complete Bible, and that truth sets you what? Free. And it'll help your marriage, help your person, help you at work. It'll help you at school. Is that right? It works. And then we have the Holy Spirit in us, leading us and guiding us. And God, move my thinking, move my praying, move in my Bible reading, move in. I'm going to work today. God, help me as I go to work. Maybe there's somebody I could touch or hug or help or whatever, care for. Is that right? God, use me. That's what I want. When we go to people, their love. Andrew just came from a missions trip. Our son Andrew just came from a missions trip down in Guatemala. He was so fired up. Dad, you should have seen this. Dad, you should have seen. God did this, and God did this, and God did this. And I'm going, well, you got to go with me, Dad. I want God. I've seen God do some great things the last couple weeks. And I want Him to continue. And you should want that with all your being. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And He wants us to care for people and minister to people and to love people and to help people and to be a part and then to read our Bibles and to come to church. Isn't it fun coming to church? God's here. That's why you come. And then you get to be used in people's lives and just help and help. It's great. Enough on that. That was a side step. Took me 5 minutes. Okay. There was great joy. Acts chapter 8, verse 6, 7, and 8. God bring it to our city. Andrew was telling me that the man with him in the missions trip is the third most influential person in the country of Guatemala. And he's a Christian man. And he's connected with just everything. The mafia want him dead because he helped so many people. And he's against drugs and all of that. And he knows the president. Andrew said while he was there, the armed forces were doing routine drills on the property there. And just God has just blessed him in so many areas. And he's just a regular, Dad, he said, Dad, he's just a regular guy. Is that what God uses? Well, preacher, I'm not too much. I want you to know God uses regular people. Amen. Then you need to realize God would might as well just use me. You got to believe that. You got to believe that. And oh, here we go. What am I doing today? I'm going to work. I got to go here. I got to get a tire fixed. Do you know, I believe God, when He wants you to witness to somebody, gives you a flat tire. I hate flat tire evangelism, but it's costly. But I believe God wants you. Does he have a person in there? You know, I don't know what God's doing. Is that right? I don't know. But I'm looking for it all the time. And the power of God said, we will have power. And we have it, and it's wonderful. And it's so neat to grasp that and to realize, God, it's great. I'm not going to get finished. Verse 12, we see that the people believed and they were baptized. I want you to see, both men and women, read verse 12. They believed, they were baptized. You got to believe before you get baptized. And both men and women. And then there was a second baptism. Simon, he was a sorcerer. He was a wicked man. He believed and he got baptized, so-called. And he was very curious of the miracles. Verse 19, he said, "Give me this power." I hope you pray that sometimes. Now, he had wrong motives. He really didn't believe, and his baptism didn't work. Because baptism, if you get in the water and you don't really believe, does the water do anything but make you wet? No. There is no grace in the water. Hear me? That's very important. It is a obedience step. It is a claiming the direction that I've been, God's come in my life. The Spirit of God's come in my life. And I've been baptized in the Spirit. And in like form, I'm going to identify with Him. I'm going to be baptized, immersed in water, just to illustrate that I've been baptized in the Spirit. I've been saved. God's come alive in my life. That's what baptism is. And he saw it. And he saw everybody. And he was losing power and influence in the town with his wickedness. And verse 19, he says, "Give me that power." Verse 20, he wanted to buy the power. Can you buy the Holy Spirit? No. And so he messed it all up. And in verse 23, Philip, who was a deacon, he was one of the deacons. Okay, he wasn't one of the apostles. Catch that. God can use any of us. Verse 23, he said, Peter was here at this time, and Peter said, "And he perceived that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. You're still a sinner. Get saved. Repent. You've not repented." So there can be baptism. Before you're saved is not baptism. And if you're baptized and you've not been really saved, you're really not baptized. So this man claimed to be baptized, claimed to believe, was baptized, but he was still a sinner and he needed to be saved. And that's very important. Salvation precedes baptism. True salvation precedes true baptism. Very important. Very important. That's a biblical principle. Now we get to the third baptism story, Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Eric.
Okay, beginning in verse 29, please follow along as I read. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing."
This is the third baptism story and account in Acts chapter 8. And God is in this all over the place. And it's pretty neat to see what the Lord is doing here in Acts chapter 8, verse 36. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And that is very important that we grasp this and realize this is really important that he's here and the Lord leads him. I want this to happen every day. It doesn't happen every day, but I'm looking for it. God, the Lord says, go talk to that person right there. You ever had that? I trust you have. The moving of the Spirit. Go talk to that person. Go over and get close to that person. Start up a conversation with that person. You just have a burden for that person. Do you want that to happen? I want that to happen. I'm not talking about pouring Jesus in them, preaching at them. I'm talking about loving your neighbor, loving your coworker, loving your person at school, loving your friend. And you realize, I'm praying for that person. And then maybe get a chance to talk with them. Maybe get a chance to pray with them. Is that right? When people are hurting, do they want you to pray with them? They do. If you could just say, could I pray for you? And you just pray for them. And God opens hearts and answers our prayers. And sometimes you can just, can I just help you? Can I help you? Can I help you as you walk down the street? Can I help you? Can I pick that up for you? And you just help. And you realize, wow. You know, if the kid's being a brat, can I help you shut him up? Don't do it. But you can get involved with people's lives and God, give me a chance to talk to this person. Maybe it's not the time, the first one, but the second one and third one. Is that right? Leave the door open. I want that to happen. Philip was just going his way and God says, okay, I want you to walk this way. I want you to go this direction. Didn't tell him what to do. He's going this direction and all of a sudden he saw this guy sitting in a chariot reading from the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Anytime you see somebody reading the Bible, should you talk to them? I think should. Anytime you see somebody reading the Bible, and anytime you see somebody praying, you'd be amazed at praying to other things. But talk to people. And he walked up and he just asked him questions. I don't want you to know that he didn't walk up and start preaching to him. He went up and asked questions. Do you understand what you're reading? No, would somebody help me? And he helped him. And he opened the scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And then he says, somehow in the talk, they talked about baptism. You got to believe and then you got to be baptized. Is baptism a command by Jesus? Did Jesus command us to be baptized after we believe? It's a command. It's not a suggestion or whether you like it. It's a command. And you got to identify with me. In Acts chapter 18, everybody turn to Acts chapter 10 and keep your place in 8, but we're going to 10 here. And we're coming right back to 8. In Acts chapter 18, verse 8, and it says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. It's always believe and were baptized. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, one of the clearest passages here. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, and it says, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth, believe first, in him shall receive remission of sins, forgiveness. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard his words. Verse 47. And it says, can any forbid water, they've just been saved, the Holy Spirit come in them, that these should not be baptized, which has received the Holy Ghost as well as we, verse 48, and he commanded them to be what? Baptized. Baptism is very, very important that we realize that it's commanded. You got to believe first and be baptized. If you have believed and you have not been baptized, you need to be baptized. God is telling you this morning to be baptized. And it's very important. Now, children, I was baptized very young. I don't know how old it was. I don't remember it, okay? I heard my dad preach on baptism. I said, oh, I want to be baptized. But I don't remember it. I don't know if it was my parents' fault or I was just dumb. I don't know. But I don't remember it. I'm slow to baptize children. I am. A child has to really know his stuff, and I want the parents to talk. We have a whole Bible study. We have a whole Bible study back here on an easel right at the communion table. It's a blue thing, and it's on all baptism. All the texts we're using this morning are on it. I want you to know what it is, and I want you to know that it doesn't save you, and I want you to know that God commands it, but you got to have a heart and be serious. And the guys in the Bible, they got baptized the day they got saved, many of them, because in the Bible, when you got saved as a Jew or a Gentile in a heathen world, it was day and night. It was, wow, you know, I'm going to throw you out of the house. You can't come into our house anymore. You lose your job. You lost everything. You're a follower of Jesus? You know, in America, Jesus is kind of popular. It's the worst thing that ever happened. People claim to know Jesus and don't have a clue about the Bible, what it says about Jesus. And that's, I don't know if they're saved or not. I'm not the judge. But you got to know something about Jesus biblically to be saved. And he's just not a good luck charm. You stick in your pocket and hope for the best. And well, I'm gonna pray to Jesus and Allah and Hindu, and I'll pray to all of them. No, he's the only one that come to the Father but by me. Only way to heaven's through Jesus. And so you got to know him. And here these people believed and they were baptized. And I challenge you to believe and be baptized. And that's so important. Infant baptism. Infant baptism, nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. It's not Old Testament connections to circumcision. It's not a carryover or a replacement to circumcision. And it started back in, the first account of infant baptism is back in 2020 AD. Tertullian mentioned it in his writings that it was kind of, put the next point up, that it was kind of a parents committing themselves to train their children, their babies, in the walk of Jesus. Okay? Like we have today, it's called baby what? Dedication. Parents dedicating themselves to rearing their kids for God, fear and admonition of the Lord. That's where it started. That's what it started with in 220 AD after Jesus, 220 years after Jesus. But then it began very quickly, put the next part up, then it became very quickly that it was a religious ceremony that guaranteed the little baby's salvation. And it changed. It's sad that it changed. Nowhere in the Bible. If they didn't use the word baptism, it wouldn't have been bad. Because it was parents dedicating themselves like Samuel's mom dedicating Samuel. Okay? And that's good. But when they gave grace to it, that it guarantees your salvation, and no, when you call it baptism, so baptizing babies is nowhere in the Bible. And the issue is, you have to believe before you get baptized. So kids, I think you need to be baptized, okay? But you need to know for sure you're saved. And it needs to show in how you treat your mom and dad and how you treat your brother and sister and how you lie and cheat and steal. There should be something. Is that right? Yeah, there should be something. And parents, I would talk to my kids about baptism. There's papers back there. On this side over here of all the writings I've done, on this side is all the membership and baptism papers, okay? And a whole Bible study on it. And I have a child looking to be baptized right now. He filled out that whole paper himself. Read all the Bible verses himself. Okay? I like that. And had a man call me up one time and said, "Preacher, I got to meet with you today." I said, "Oh, what's wrong?" And when he came in the office, he says, "I've been reading my Bible. I got to get baptized." I said, "If I'd read my Bible like that in the book of Acts, I need to be baptized right now. Fill the tank. Let's go to the river. Let's get baptized." You know, it's very important. Baptism, is baptism important? It's very important. It's important to know infant baptism. The infant baptism, they've struggled. They put that covenant theology. If you know anything about covenant theology, that it's an extension of Israel. That's how some of the Protestants have infant baptism, and they work at it pretty good, but still not in the Bible. Okay? It's important that you believe, and then you are baptized, and if you have not been baptized after you believe, you need to be baptized. Amen? That's a command, and very, very important. Very, very important. Let's finish it here in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, back to 8, verse 38, it says, "And he commanded the chariot, and they both went down in the water." That's why we believe in immersion, and that's what the word means, to dip. And they dipped him in water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he came out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught him away, and he went on his way rejoicing. I don't have time to push the membership here, but put the next slide up there. Membership is an organized local group. Is that right? We're here? That are committed to Christ. Is that right? And to each other. Is that right? That's a membership. I'm committed to you. For discipleship, evangelism, and fellowship. Now, there's no verse in the Bible that says join a church. Write these verses down, especially Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 identifies the local group in the church, the organized local group in the church, many times by pronouns. We, our, us. Okay? The church, the whole church. The company of believers, the word company there. That we are in one accord. I do not know what they had in the Bible days, but did they know who was of the church of Ephesus? Did they know who were the people of the church of Ephesus? They did. When they were sending out the missionaries here, it says, "Gather us together and we'll choose among us and we'll choose some people." Let me state this. If you're in our church here and you're a regular attender, you're one of us. We should just declare you as members. You're all members. But in our culture, it's good for you to want it. Is that right? And I think it's, if you're coming to our church and this is your church, you should be a member. Thus, you can get more involved. You can vote. Isn't it exciting? When we voted on Pastor Kyle and Julia, we had 91 members vote, and we had 91 members vote yes. And, you know, if you're not a member, you couldn't what? Vote. Okay? A member also can teach, and a member can just get involved more. And also, you're one of us. You're a card carrying. You know what I'm saying? You're a member. I'm a part of this church. And don't badmouth my church. And it's important that, well, preacher, I don't know if I qualify. Let me tell you, if you're here this morning and you're walking with God, you qualify. And we want you. And there's membership papers back there also. But it is important. You know, well, every church I ever go and I become a member, it always goes bad. I've had people tell me that. Thus, I don't become a member. Let me tell you. If you're here, I don't have a list. I don't have a list. I look at it in members. In our deacons' meetings, we'll be putting up people for different offices or whatever. And we'll get right and talk to them. And somebody will say, "Oh, they're not members." We'll go, "Oh, you know. We don't know who that. We don't have a big list. If you're coming here, we expect you to be a member. Is that right? You know, I've been attending here for 5 years. Well, you be a member." And that is very important. Read Acts 15. Write that down. Acts 15, 22 to 25. Note the pronouns, and it's very important. Lastly is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody turn to John chapter 7, verse 38. John chapter 7, verse 38. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the permanent indwelling Spirit continually coming alive with power in every believer's life. The second you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you. Woo! It's important that power, it's not you. And when you read the Bible, God talks. Is that right? When you pray, God moves. When you talk to somebody and try to care, God moves. God flows out of you. You ever walk up to somebody and say something and you quite didn't know what you were saying? And they said, "That's exactly what I needed." I've done that in counseling. Sometimes I say, "Now you need to do this," and I'm just talking, and I felt God led me, but they said, "That's exactly what I need," and I'll go, "Well, what did I say?" You know, it's not me, it's God. And if you think, "Well, I couldn't teach or help at a Happy Day Club." No, you can't. But God can do it through you. And there's no greater thrill than doing something for God that helps people get to heaven and get the joy of Jesus, and you feel so unqualified. My mom, who was one of the greatest children's workers I ever knew, when she began, knew nothing about it and was scared to death and wondered if anybody had ever listened to her. And she had hundreds and hundreds in her classes. And one lady come up to her after she taught the lesson, and she says, "Old June, you got it." And my mama says, "Got what?" You know. And God used her magnificently. I want you to know, each of us has a gift and a calling. And you got to find yours, and sometimes it changes. But it's so neat to God to use you. John chapter 7, verse 38. "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly, out of his heart, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he," note in parenthesis, it's in John chapter 7, Jesus hadn't died yet. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive," they're going to receive it, "for the Holy Ghost was not yet given at that time." Jesus hadn't died. It came in the book of Acts. "Because that Jesus was not glorified, he wanted us to realize that we would have a river of living water, that it would be flowing in and out of our lives, filling other people's lives, a continuous flow of water that is inside of us, blessing, helping, caring, using, opening the Bible to us, answering our prayers." Is that right? He said there's going to be a spring of living water. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit, but it's continuous flowing. It's a river. I was trying to figure out how I could get a river here this morning. I failed, okay? But you ever see a gushing river? Go to Colorado Mountains, and when it's melting, those rivers are just gushing. My. And you just realize, wow. And that's the Holy Spirit power. It's not you. It's supernatural. And it's also very simple. It's not, it's not mystical. It's real simple. It's you reading your Bible and God talking. It's you praying and God moving through you. It's you helping somebody, giving a cup of water. Is that right? In the name of Jesus. And Jesus, "Thank you, thank you." Mowing somebody's grass. It's just helping somebody, caring for somebody, loving on people, helping people at work, at school. It's God moving through you, giving you victory over sins. Amen? "God, help me with this sin. God, help me with my pride. God, help me." And he helps you. And you realize you're about ready to get mad, and you don't. "Thank you, Jesus. I was about to kill the guy, and I didn't." And that's the Holy Spirit power. "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Acts 1:8. Romans chapter 6, and it says, "Buried with him in baptism and raised with him to walk in newness of life." That's the Spirit. It's very important to believe, repent, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he was dead, that he was buried, that he rose again, and he's coming back, and he's God. He's my Savior. He forgives my sins. Be saved. Amen. Be baptized. It's just a symbol that I want everybody to know that I'm saved and that the Holy Spirit has come in. I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's come in my life and I'm living for him. Praise God. Baptism. And then membership. If this is your church, you ought to be a member. Huh? It's that simple. "Oh, I'm afraid of becoming a member." Oh, get a life. Do we have a church that you can live in and enjoy, and we don't tell you everything to do? We don't have all kinds of rules and regulations. We let a lot of people do a lot of different things. Is that right? We believe. And we're a brotherhood. And we believe doctrine. And very important. And then know that you're spirit-filled. It's something that it happens continuously. It should happen 4, 5, 10, 20 times a day. And you realize God's here. And then all of a sudden your mind gets off of God. And then you start realizing, oh, I haven't thought about God for a while. And you start thinking about God. And you say, now God use me today. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go to Pizza Hut. Now help me. I might go to Burger King. You know what? There it is. Tim, jump up and sing. And does God use us everywhere we go? Yes. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you saved? Do you know for sure you're saved? If you're not sure you're saved, you need to get saved today. Amen. And wow, it's just believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. I believe. I repent. I believe. If you've never done that, you need to do that. You need to talk to somebody sitting beside you. You need to talk to me. You need to talk to Pastor Kyle. You need to talk to anybody in our whole church. They could talk with you. There's pamphlets going out on every corner of our church here. Peace, purpose, and joy. You need to read that till it comes alive. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Could I pray with you? Just lift your hand. Let me pray with you. I'd love to do that. Anybody in the side wings, balconies? It's so important. Know you're saved. Know you're being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized. You got the Holy Spirit living in you. If you've not been baptized, you need to be baptized. You need to talk to Pastor Kyle or myself. We're lining one up in September. And then membership. If you're not a member, fill out those papers and give it to me. Become a member. We already consider you as a member. So you might as well commit to us and us commit to you. It's wonderful. Family, fellowship, of discipleship, evangelism, and fellowship. Lord Jesus, speak to every heart and help us to realize we're only sinners saved by grace.